Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
Good morning, people. What's going on? How's everybody this morning?
Good morning.
What's up, people?
Managing. I'll say managing.
Uh-oh. Just managing?
Absolutely.
All right.
I think that's really appropriate word, Jay, Jasmine, and managing is the right word this morning. Here's a scenario that I like to just mention. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe you guys can correct me on a couple of things. But if someone, if the police officers come in your home at 12:30 at night, really 1 o'clock in the morning, and I don't know whether they knocked or said who they were or whatever, but at the end of the day, when they left there, a person was killed. They was apparently looking for a drug dealer, somebody who was involved with drugs, who was already in jail 10 miles away from where they were. So they went out looking for somebody who wasn't there. They fired on a lady. They killed her, and they left. And we found out yesterday that the bullets that killed this lady from the gun of an officer is null and void. We found out yesterday that the three officers was there. One that was charged because his bullets endangered people in the other apartment because the bullets went there. But the bullets that killed Breonna Taylor, and she's dead, the person that killed her is as free as I am today.
Right.
It makes no damn sense. And Jasmine said that we're just trying to manage because you're trying to manage because you're trying to figure out. Really, to be fair, based on that, in my opinion, Earl Reese, Jasmine Fritz, Kevin McClendon, our lives really don't matter. It really doesn't, because you could kill us, and we know you killed us, but because of the circumstances and the scenario, it doesn't matter. There's more harm on a guy who shot bullets into an apartment than the people who actually killed Breonna Taylor. I'm sorry, guys.
I think it's something wrong with that. That's the part that's exhausting to me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to hold it together. But I'm about to make things about black women right now. And I promise we're going to get to sports news this morning. But what I need people to understand is that it is exhausting being a black woman. Simply existing is exhausting. It's exhausting. It's hard to be on radio right now because I'm exhausted from the weight of what we face in this world. Like you said, Reese, telling us that we don't matter. And black women were great and beautiful and smart and all of these things, talented, but we get treated like nothing in the worst of ways for existing as black women. And right now, we need a lot of love and support. Every black woman you know needs love and support right now. So I hope you guys, everyone, find it in your heart to give to black women. And in Breonna's case, she was wrongfully killed by officers sworn to protect, and she got nothing. Like, she literally was the face of so many social justice campaigns. You know, she sparked dialogue across the country, especially about the way black women are treated, and she got nothing. They're not being held accountable for her murder. And like, that feels like the biggest kick in the stomach. In death, she's pushing us forward and she gets nothing. It, like you said, Reese, it makes no sense. And this isn't even an isolated event or the only type of event where we are treated like we're nothing. And I could go on and on, but ultimately, everyone listening, examine the ways in which you look at black women. Do you find yourselves thinking of us negatively with these unsubstantiated claims, like reasons you don't even know why you feel that way? Honestly, question yourself, because I think that's where the tragedies start. It starts in your heart. So My love and thoughts and prayers go out to Breonna Taylor and her family.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I encourage every Black woman who feels like there is no hope for, you know, a better tomorrow to keep fighting and show racism and sexism, classism, discrimination, just who we are.
Very, very well put, Jazz. Unbelievable. Unconscionable. Management.
For me, I everything Jazz said, everything. But on top of that, the elected officials and the, quite honestly, it just feels like the arrogance of, we don't owe you an explanation, really. We don't really, don't worry about that part. We'll, you know, whatever the grand jury says, that's what we'll do. But it's like you don't have, like right now, as you said, Reese, you can just, at this point, the way that this goes, I anticipate they should be able to do that and just do that all over the country and nothing should happen.
It doesn't matter, if
you're not even safe in your own home. What are the rules? They talk about lawlessness and law and order and all this. Okay. Well, where is it? Where is it? I'm waiting. Where is it? You're not safe. You're not even safe in your own home from law enforcement. And then the arrogance of it's like we don't even deserve an explanation of why you right. think, why you, like you're not even trying to justify it. You know what I mean? It's like, that just compounds the issue of you don't matter.
Right.
Because I don't have to tell you, I don't have to justify anything. And I don't know this looks like it's unjustified. And maybe it is, but I'm not going to explain it. I'm going to say, well, this guy, because his bullets went through the house and went to another house, another apartment, another home, we'll charge him with that.
I mean, that's a slap.
Well, there was $12 million in a settlement for wrongful death, but apparently, who was wrong? Because nobody's getting charged for it.
I'm like, what? I said, what is it? Now, to me, it just completely compounds the issue. And I just don't understand why do you think we should just continue just to accept the complete and total dismissal of people of color? Why we just got to accept it, huh? We just have to, we just got to take it. Oh, well, no.
Yeah, and Mac, you're so right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's really what struck me, and I'll be honest. Once I realized the Attorney General and his history and how things he's done in the past, I knew it was gonna be an uphill battle to get him to do anything, right? But at least I thought he would come out with some form of an explanation of, here's the rule of law in this situation and why, unfortunately, it ended up this way. Not just, oh, well.
And just the procedure issue that I have a problem with. Of course, I never went to nobody's law school. But what bothers me is that you have a grand jury make a decision based on the evidence. A grand jury is people you have. I could be on a grand jury. They could pick anybody. Grand jury, blah, blah, blah. And based on the evidence, they decide who will be indicted or not. It's not even a trial. It's going to be a trial at some point, but it's not even. I mean, they're making this, and it took them 2.5 days. Not weeks, but 2.5. I think a day and a half they talked about. Okay, we come together, here's the evidence, and how they present the evidence and push you. They can almost push you to derive at a conclusion that they want you to derive at. But how the hell they arrive at a point where nobody's being charged for killing this young lady? I would never, ever get over that one. Nobody. Anyway, guys, thank you for our comments. We're going to be coming probably more throughout the show on that one. It's just, and K-Back and Jazz, we thank you for sharing these wonderful words of concern, words of disbelief. I mean, how many times have we talked? How many times have we had these kind of conversations? And you
Too
would
many.
Think that after George Floyd, you would think about after Breonna Taylor that happened. You would think that we were gonna win, we would get a W. You know, and what does win mean? And win means justice, not just really just deferring to the point or just pushing away the fact that someone died and nobody's playing. I mean, and we're talking
just
go ahead, Matt.
It's tough, man. I just don't think sleeping in your home at night and you just think to yourself, so you really can just come kick my door in. And if I'm asleep, I have no idea what's going on. And you can shoot and kill me and nothing happens.
Well, thankfully, Breonna's law has been passed to ban no-knock warrants. And hopefully that means something.
Man.
Yeah, I hope it means some jazz, but no, I'm not even convinced of that. Because what I saw yesterday, I have no confidence in the system at all. I'm sorry. I mean, that's blatant. That's red in our face.
Right. It's like, come
I'm just
on.
Telling you.
I'm like, come on now. You really
tested
my patience and my patience or faith in the process, seriously, when it comes to that. Because you just, you expanded out, like she just mentioned, you passed, you know, Breonna's law where, you know, there's no knock warrants. And you think, so you really think that's the rule? So we even without passing that, what the heck makes you think that's the rule of law? You can actually go in and you can do that.
So
you can shoot unarmed people in their homes in the middle of the night. Well, where's that done?
My last comment, we're going to definitely move on. Not move on, but going to go to our next. They said, we interviewed several people. One person said they heard something to say, heard them announce they was there. But the other 10 people, 11, 12 people, they heard nothing. So you take the word with this one person that's in his apartment complex, say he heard something, the police announced their presence or whatever. Man, let's find out who that person is. Okay. I'm sorry, I don't trust it. But, you know, we're going to pivot just a little bit because I got to pick on my colleague here. Because, you know, Jazz, remember a couple of days ago when you and I both, we was trying to speak to the fact that Tyler Hero was a game changer. He was making a difference in the Eastern Conference, NBA Eastern Conference Finals. You remember this conversation, Jazz?
I do. Yeah. We were talking about Tyler Hero, and what was it? K-Mac didn't want to give him his praise. Told him, man, he got a couple issues. Like, he's not some threat
so
on the court. Even as a rookie.
Right. So he's as a rookie. So he don't play no defense. And K-Mac, do you realize the guy you're talking about really was the best player on the court last night? And he's probably one of the best players on the court the whole series. This 20-year-old kid out of Kentucky, University of Kentucky, dropped 37.
Let me know when y'all ready.
Points.
Let me know when y'all ready.
Oh, yeah, 37. I'm going to let you know, 37 points, had 6 rebounds and 3 assists. And he aided the Miami Heat to defeat the Boston Celtics 112-109. Again, Tyler Hero dropped 37. Jason Tatum had 28. Go ahead, K-Mac.
37 points in 36 minutes, might I add.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh. Damn, over a point a minute. Woo! Come on. Go ahead, Mac.
My point being, when I said it and I say it again, that's great. He's a walking bucket. No problem. That's what he does. That's him. That's who he is. He's a sharpshooter. That's his stick. That's his role. That's what he does. That's what they need. No, it's not okay. What I said was, defensively, the Boston Celtics should be ashamed of themselves on what they're doing to him defensively on the other end. He doesn't have to work at all. He doesn't have to do anything. So I'm like, Kimba, this what you're struggling with? Jason, this is the guy you're struggling with? You're not making him work at all? They don't run him off screens. They don't do anything. And I just said, this is ridiculous. I said, no, this is what I said the other day. Man, you, I'm Mike, and Kerry, nobody wants to listen. Everybody gets all in everybody fancy shooting. So what? That's not what I was talking about. I'm not talking about that.
He can't play defense.
That's exactly what he said.
Hello? Hello? Come on.
He doesn't even have to play defense.
Now I realize he don't even have to. Hell, because they don't make it. I realize he don't even have to because they don't make it. It's ridiculous. But it's okay. You know what? What was I thinking? I'm looking at the next coming of Larry Bird. You know what? I stand down. Matter of fact, make him the logo. Matter of fact, just make him the logo. He's my hero.
Came back.
He's my hero too.
He's K-Mac hero. If you look inside his heart,
it's hard. Tyler's my hero.
But K-Mac, I love the technique. That's just something I normally do. Cause you kind of like go over the top and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I normally do, K-Mac. Nice.
Once I got started, I realized, well, hell, maybe he's my hero. That's why I'm having a problem with it. I'm having a problem accepting it. Now you guys are talking me into realizing, you know what? It's not Tyler's problem. It's Boston's problem. And that ain't Tyler's problem because it's Boston's problem. So he's my hero for getting away with it.
Well, you know what? I ain't mad at that because if he's somebody's hero, he's making the best of it because he is straight balling. Jimmy Butler
talked
about
it. That's what he called it. He called himself a walking bucket. That's what he said.
Jimmy Butler talked about how Tyler Hero is playing like a vet. Let's take a listen.
He listens, he's learning, and he just wants to win. So he's going to continue to get better. Obviously, he's a rookie, but I'm telling you, whenever he's out there on the floor, the swag that he plays with, the moves that he makes, you think he's been in the league for 10+.
Larry Bird, yeah, that's it.
You know what I'm saying? Some people say, hell, maybe Larry Bird never played defense either. I don't know.
Yeah, probably so. Well, let's hear from Tyler Larry Bird Hero himself on this game 4 performance. Let's take a listen. Well, maybe Tyler's still asleep.
It's early.
And I feel the groove I'm in, I feel like I have it going, but you know, like I said before, any night it can be someone different. And you know, when you think you have it going, you want to just try to be as efficient as possible and make the right play. And you know, tonight some shots were falling for me, and my teammates just continued to give me the ball, and you know, I appreciate them for that.
Boston should be ashamed of themselves.
No, see, I have to be honest with you. Tyler Hero got a little swag too now. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah. He said, I grew up like that. That's what he said in the interview. He said, I grew up like that. I said, wow.
The first thing I thought about last night, I said, he been over in Southeast Raleigh, in Birmingham, it's Tennisville. So, I mean, he been over there because they be straight hooping. You could tell, I mean, Tyler Hero, he been around some brothers playing some basketball. I'll put it that way. You could tell that.
And it's he a hooper. You could tell he a hooper. You know, he's spent some time in the gym. He's a hooper. That's what he is. I just don't understand why you're not making him at this level of the game. Why you don't have him playing defense? I mean, why you don't have him working on the other end? What's the easiest way to take a shooter like that, that's a pure shooter, and try to have some type of effect on him overall during the game? You gotta wear him out. Yeah. That's right.
Now, the Jazz, did we see this? We was at Kentucky. I don't remember seeing all this.
No, but I also was not watching a lot of Kentucky.
Okay.
But, I'll say this. I remember his name at Kentucky. So there were some big games that he did have. I remember the noise, but I was definitely focused on ACC coming in as a newbie. So I admittedly did not see too much of him.
You know why you didn't see it, Ree? You know why you didn't see it?
Why?
Because they got coaches on the other damn side over there that he was playing when he was in Kentucky. They had coaches on the other side of the bench. That's why. That's why you didn't see it. Because I don't know what the hell Boston doing. I don't know what they're doing.
So now you said Brad Stevens not coaching like he's supposed to, K-Mac.
Well, you tell me then.
Now here's the thing.
Now you tell me. You passed the eye test with it. You tell me what you're looking at every day.
Well, let me, first of all, K-Mac, you realize the guy is 6'5", right?
Yeah, I do realize that. Yeah.
And quick, Kemba, if you're just quick as Kemba, he ain't too much he can do with you. Kemba can do with you. That's one thing. Then on the other end, Duncan is the one that it's the fish, so to speak. You know, the ISO went on a lot. Mm-hmm. He's the one that they're exposing.
Oh, okay. So the reason Boston's offense looks horrible down the stretch, not because they don't have any movement or they don't have any motion late down in the shot clock. None of that because of that. It's just Kemba Walker's a little too short. That's where we are.
I mean, his size is an issue.
That's why you move around so you can get a better shot.
I'm just telling you, K-Mac. Hey, real quickly, guys, is the series over now?
It's been over.
I think it's over. But just to set it up, Miami Heat defeated Boston Celtics last night, 112-109 in game four, and that's what we're talking about. Tyler Hero going off at 37 points. Jason Tatum, guys, went scoreless in the first half. You can't have that if you're going to win. That's why I say this series is over, because it's like they're just not – weirdly, they have not found like a rhythm that can really compete and win.
Yeah. I think they win.
You can't go scoreless in the first half.
Whose job is that? Whose job? It's the first half now. That means you didn't come out
with
a plan.
No, he did go off in the third quarter, mid to late third quarter.
He ended up with 28
points. He did. But you can't go scoreless in the first half. Because you're playing catch up at that point.
Watch the game very closely. Whenever Miami would get up by 10 points or get up by a significant margin, all of a sudden those wide open just shots, they just let them take them. And then all of a sudden they play defense, they turn around, Adebayo and all those other guys. The Boston defense just disappears. I mean, offense just disappears. It's like it's non-existent.
Their defense did as well. They left Dragic open on the side a few times for open threes.
And Marcus Smart played terrible. He was throwing the ball away.
That's not his role. That's not even fair to them, Reese. I know what you're saying,
No. K-Mac, I don't know the stats, so I can pull them. But he had turnovers, man. He was shooting.
Oh, he like 0-22. He was like 0-22 or something crazy.
I'm gonna tell you why. Yeah, you guys might think I'm crazy, but I've seen it happen before. It didn't even happen to me. See, here's the issue. When Malika was interviewing him before the game.
25 feet.
From the locker room.
So they interviewed him like it was 40 some minutes to go before the game started. They had him out there. He was interviewing, talking about. See, when the interview is over, you know, in your mind you're thinking, oh, that's kind of cool. I got to really show up and show up tonight because they interviewed me. I think he was trying too hard. That's what I think. And he was shooting crazy shots, hitting the side of the backboard, all kind of stuff. I think it's Malika's problem. She shouldn't even interviewed him. She hadn't interviewed him, he probably played better.
I didn't blame her.
What do you guys think?
Wait a minute.
No, I disagree. 100% disagree.
How you going to put that on her, man?
Okay, right. I'm going to blame him. The interview went to his head. Can I say that? Man.
Okay.
Wait a minute, hold on. Is this right, DC?
Yep.
Marcus went with 3-for-12, 1-for-8 from 3.
See what I'm saying?
11 assists and 4 turnovers. How you get 4 turnovers? Does he have the ball like that?
And fouled out.
My point exactly. Don't ever interview that guy again before a game. This is what happened.
That was in Malika. Wasn't that Rachel Nichols?
No. Rachel. Okay. Yeah. You're right. I'm sorry. Malika, I'm sorry. I know it just pops in my head when you're talking about 25 feet away from the mouth of the locker room. But
that was
Rachel Nichols. I'm sorry. Yeah, she interviewed him. You're right. Don't interview Mark Smart for nothing.
Terrence said Eddie fouled out.
Yeah, I just want to throw that note. Piling it on. I love to join in.
Okay, speaking of pile on, let's pivot quickly. So, yes, on Sunday, we are getting ready for the games. You know, Sunday, NFL, Sunday, get ready for the NFL. And all of a sudden, we hear.
Football.
All of a sudden, we hear. That Tyrod Taylor's not going to play, K-Mac and Jasmine. He's out. They say he got
goodness.
Say he had a chest issue. This is what they
said. They said he injured it in warm-ups. Liars.
We said, how the hell you get injured? How you get injured in warm-ups? See, first of all, you got just like walking in somebody. Anyway, don't get me started on that. But yeah, how does that work? So what had happened was the Los Angeles Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured Tyrod Taylor's lung just before kickoff while trying to administer a painkilling injection to the quarterback's cracked ribs. Okay. All right, let me get it right. So my ribs are over here. Where's your lung? Boy. So how? Was the doctor drunk? What was going on? I mean, just think about that.
You getting the shot or whatever, he says it's gonna sting a little bit. he punctures your damn lung. You go,
hold on, wait a minute.
He goes,
that don't feel right, Doc.
He said, that ain't no damn sting. I don't know what just happened, but that ain't right. Oh, you be just fine. You know, once it kicks in, you be just fine. You know, rub some dirt on it. Whatever.
Now, I've never had my lung punctured. But I'd imagine this is a very, very serious thing.
Yes.
This is.
Oh, absolutely. That ain't something you know, my
mind is straight on, give me every single thing you own and you'll never be a doctor again.
Because you know what?
Like, what happened for you to puncture my lung?
Thank you.
Before games.
Our medical and legal team have been in touch with Tyrod and his agent since Sunday. Collecting facts. This is what who is this at this? Somebody from the NFL. I can't remember. Oh, George Atala, who's the director of external affairs. First of all, how about this though? How about this scenario? How did Herbert play? Who replaced him? How did he play?
That's another thing.
How did he play on Sunday, Mac?
So not only are you gonna damn near kill me, now I lost my job.
Yep.
Now I lost my job because they told him he can't come back. They told him he can't come back yet. Go ahead and stay out.
He can't come back this week? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would sue I would own the damn team. The doctors, I would own the Chargers. I would own the Chargers. I own it. It'll be the Tyrod, the L.A. Tyrods or Taylors or hell. I own the damn team. Seriously. Because your team, doctor, who represent your team, is the reason I'm in the situation. And now you got a guy playing quarterback. He's that dude because of the negligence of a damn doctor. Come on, man.
Patrick Mahomes in the OT.
Sure did. It looked pretty damn good, to be fair.
For y'all.
But part of the issue, and my stream producer reminded me, is just like the doctor. For the Chargers and Marcus Smart didn't have his Pepsi Zero Sugar. That's why he didn't play well. And of course, the Chargers doctor didn't have this Pepsi Zero Sugar as well. Mountain Dew Zero Sugar.
Not good.
Marcus Smart.
The thing is, that could have been good. Like you could have.
I just butchered
it. He could have saved it, Jeff. He could have saved it.
Yeah, like that. Honestly, that was a good setup by Dennis. So shout out to him for, you know,
Thank you.
That.
I gave you everything you needed.
But the fact
he really
that
did.
If he would have had his winter gear on from the official sports apparel of the sports shop Under Armour, he wouldn't have got hurt.
Gear.
He would have got hurt.
You know what? Why don't we just play the music?
There you go.
I drop dimes on you, sir. I drop dimes for you, sir, and this is what you do.
Thank you, Jazz. Thank you very much.
Call a park, Bubba Sparks, Ying Yang Twins.
He's my hero, too.
He's K-Mac hero. If you look inside his heart,
his heart. Tyler's my hero.
From the basketball court at the University of Virginia to the classroom at UNC Chapel Hill, Dr. Deborah Strowman has it all covered. Now this professor and sports business entrepreneur is about to take you to school. It's time for Dishing It Up with Dr. Strowman and the Sports Shop on Buzz Sports Radio.
D-Stroll in the building. What's going on, Dr. Strowman? How you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Strowman.
Mixed feelings. Mm-hmm. With the Breonna Taylor situation. And then thinking about how that applies to the sports world. Not that any athlete, coach, or administrator is immune from reality and playing ball. But just thinking about her life and how she got entangled in all of this. There's a wonderful, wonderful podcast. New York Times produces it called The Daily. I know lots of people all around the world listen to it, but they did a two-part series on Breonna Taylor that was so revealing. But her being caught up in a relationship with a man who was involved in the drug trade, and finally she decided to step away from that, and she got back with her, arguably her first love, and had decided to go a different way and be inspired. But on that very, very fateful night, they heard the banging on the door. Breonna and her boyfriend, Kenny, they thought it might be that ex. And as they're screaming, who is it at the door? Again, starting to fear that he was coming back to hurt her and him. He gets the gun because he's nervous. The police are saying that they're shouting, open up, it's police. The police say they didn't hear it. They didn't hear their pleas. And Breonna and Kenny, or I guess Kenny, he's the only one who could speak at this point. He's saying that we were screaming, who is it? Who is it? And so he's nervous. He fires a single shot. And then the police discharge a hail of bullets, killing her. And so very, very sad, very tragic, arguably a racial atrocity again. So it just hurts. It just hurts.
Yeah.
And as it's been stated, and as we've seen historically, the system does not indict the system. And no. So where do we go from here? Tying it to athletics, I'm just thinking about motivation. You know, it's been stated that Bam from Miami Heat, he said that he was playing to channel his very, very deep hurt from the ruling. And so I started thinking about athletes and what motivates athletes. First off, of course, one's ability. Because especially if you've got games and you want to go out there, you're motivated to show everybody how good you are, your opponent, your coaches, your teammates, your family, loved ones, everyone. The second is the level of competition. That's a big motivator when you know you're playing your rival, when you know you're playing someone that's much better than you. And then the last one, which is related to Breonna Taylor, the motivation to perform due to an external factor like being inspired. And the two greatest emotions are love and fear. And I guess when I think about Bam, then maybe he was saying that he loved her. He loved the fact of being a black woman and protecting his queen. And that's how he was channeling it. I can't imagine he was thinking around the fear. But I'll just pause right there. But just wondering about motivation, just how sad this situation ended up. But, you know, tying it to athletics.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point about athletes, and they bear a lot, and especially with the burden of representations. Oftentimes, I feel like they are forced into situations that they have to bear it. And because they are in the spotlight, they have to put on the brave face and be the strong one and say, you know, her death's not in vain, and we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And it's kind of like you mentioned, performing or being inspired by these tragic events, where a lot of times in tragic events, we just stop and we have to process and feel. And a lot of times athletes don't get that opportunity. And I think that's a pretty unfair thing and it just kind of is what it is. I'm sure it could be fixed and made better, but there is a lot that athletes have to bear when it comes to these bigger issues, maybe, you know, like the social kind of issues that you know are in the headlines for weeks on end.
Well, there's no doubt in many brown and black communities our role models come from sports and entertainment. Not that we don't have successful business women, businessmen, artists, I mean, just from all walks of life, but the media really elevates the black athlete, the black performer. And that pressure, you know, like, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? And I guess I'm even thinking about Michael Jordan, and not that Michael Jordan needs anybody to defend him, but the constant theme in the community that Michael doesn't do enough. Michael didn't do this. Michael didn't speak out. And so that constant spotlight on the black athlete to speak for everybody and to be angry and, to, you know, when injustice is done. I think it's an unfair thing that we do with athletes, but I also understand they do have responsibility. So they're in a very, very difficult place. I don't think we do that with white athletes. They can just be. But the black mm-hmm. athlete, there's a heavy, heavy burden to wear, to you know, to have that mantle.
We're talking to Dr. Deborah Strobman. We rock with her each and every Thursday. This trip to Dee Strobe. I'm going to ask a simple question, Dee Strobe. Again, we started the show off with a lot of commentary, and we will continue to call her and say her name, Breonna Taylor. But will we ever get justice? Is the question that I'm asking. Will we ever see, in our lifetime, will we see a world where you know, black and brown people are treated equally as white individuals in this country? And I'm saying that, and that's a really honest question I'm having, because when we see things like we saw yesterday and results of yesterday, with all the facts in, which we don't know all the facts because they're not really open with us with everything that went on, but based on what was communicated to us yesterday, with the facts that was presented to us, here's the fact: somebody got killed, nobody's blamed for it. That's one fact. So, mm-hmm. will we ever see justice? We ever get to the point where we would be treated equally? And that's the question that I'm posing.
Well, it's an important question. And certainly it makes one think about humanity and how we got to where we are today. Mm. You know, there are certainly communities around the world where you don't have this very, very strange level of disrespect, ugliness, mm-hmm. evil acts, white supremacy, just running throughout every aspect of all of our systems and institutions. And some would say that it just goes right back to enslavement, as in mm-hmm. the United States, we had the peculiar institution in the sense that the African was treated like property, was property, no more valued than a horse or a pig. Whereas there was enslavement going on all across the world. There was no doubt that people were encountering other people, and I want your land, I want your resources, I want you. But what made the United States different is that it was generational. One's child became a slave, his or her child became a slave, his or her child became a slave. Only because the color of your skin, the phenotype. Whereas in other forms of enslavement, the research shows that you could buy your way out of slavery. Research shows that you could one day become royalty. You'd end up as a king, but not in the United States. And that belief that the white man, the white body is superior, whether that's intelligence, whether it's beauty, more humane, all of that lives today. And so if that's baked in to the fabric of our country, as in during those 246 years of enslavement, that slavery wasn't the only thing that was going on. We were building a nation, a white nation, a nation to advantage white men in particular. And so we can't just turn our backs or close our eyes or plug our ears to the fact that all of the systems and institutions, just about all of them, maybe except nonprofits, but whether you're talking about criminal justice, healthcare, education, media, everything was built during a time period where white supremacy, the belief that whites were superior, was birthed. And even though we've had laws, you know, to bring us together and to stop the in-your-face overt racism, it's still baked into the system. And there are people who continue to live, to work, to keep that system in place exactly the way it was built. So if you have faith, then you believe in a creator, a God, that tells us that we are all equal. And the science says that, the Human Genome Project, right? We're 99.98% alike. That our God and our Creator says that this is evil and it's wrong and it will come down in our lifetime. I don't know. You know, our president has said that critical race theory needs to stop being taught. But Derrick Bell, that legal scholar, when he created that very, very powerful theory, critical race theory, his main tenet is that racism is permanent. It's absolutely permanent. Now, some people would say that's very pessimistic, but others would argue that's optimistic, because you go in with the framework that it's permanent. So how are we going to navigate it? What are we going to do about it? You know, how are we going to live a joyful life? Whites, black, and brown people. And so I would encourage people to take a look at CRT, that it is very, very direct and pretty strong. Another tenet of critical race theory is interest convergence, as in white people only do things for racial equity when it works in their own best interest, when they profit off of it. And I think in the sport industry,
and what
I think
was that called? I'm sorry.
Interest convergence. CRT, critical race interest theory, convergence. Interest convergence. And I think that is one of the tenets that really speaks to the sport industry. And the biggest example is everybody jumping on Black Lives Matter now, wearing t-shirts, putting billboards up in your stadium, you know, patches on your clothing. That works in the best interest of the white power structure of sports. Because fans, donors, people are getting more and more concerned because the optics of seeing black men perform for white America and receiving no justice. And so what does the white power structure do in sports? Well, we're going to join in because it works for their best interest. Now, I know I've gone a little bit deeper than normal because we're pretty light on the sports shop, but
no,
again, people can find me.
Go ahead, Dr. Strong.
Contact me if you want to talk about it further. Please join one of my workshops, The Color Line, on Eventbrite. The Color Line. I teach this. I share this. I'll go back and forth with you. But clearly there's something going on within our country that blocks just an average Joe from not seeing what is happening to brown and black people. Let me say one more thing, that the other night I was in tears because I just finished up the very, very powerful documentary on Netflix called Immigration Nation. Immigration Nation. Watch that. And if your heart is not torn in terms of what we do to our Latina brothers and sisters in this country, then I would question if you are human. But Immigration Nation, we just do so many ugly things in this country that is very, very disturbing.
Wow. I tell you, yo, we joke a lot of time we got our pen and paper ready, but I just had my pen and paper ready today. And you gave us a whole lot of things to chew on, Dr. Strober. We robbed her. And just by the way, kudos. You know, I had a chance to catch your monthly session last night. you had Rodney Pete on and Sean Drawn on it. I thought it was an unbelievable session talking about, I guess, life after sports and after your profession, and, you know, and talked about CTE and all those things. It was a very good conversation. So I applaud you for kind of having that level of conversation on those topics.
Well, I thank you for joining in, and I think that's our responsibility as people being in media, you know, having a podcast, having a radio show, that we have to stay informed. And mm-hmm. having Dr. Carl Hill from the Alzheimer's Association, yep. Superstar UNC NFL Sean Drone, and the Rodney Pete, and yep. being facilitated by Dr. Robert Turner. It was a great, great opportunity to learn about mental health and football and transition. You know, I always learn, and that's what we have to do. But it will be, the video should be up within the next day, and one can go to the website, thecsba.com, standing for the Center of Sport Business and Analytics. But it was a very, very rich discussion on, you know, football and the next. What can you do next after the game?
Right. I enjoyed it.
Well, stay encouraged, everyone. Certainly, you know, if you're disgusted with the decision, understand that these are elected officials. They're elected officials, mm-hmm. and that means we have the power to change. And so please yep. check your registration. Make sure you vote and stay engaged. Be an informed voter. Don't just go into the booth and, you know, pick your favorite letters, you know, or names. Be informed. What do these people stand for? What do they believe? Go to their website. Ask yeah. questions. But that's how we can change. That's how we can change things and lift everybody up in our country.
Outstanding. Dishing it up with Dr. Deborah Strowman, the same as we do each and every Thursday. Dr. Strowman, as always, it's a pleasure having you on. Extremely insightful. And you know what? Mm-hmm. Real quickly before you leave, just tell people once again how to get participate in one of your workshops.
Thank you. So it's the Center of Sport Business and Analytics. And if you put that in there, my last name, the website will pop up. But the URL is thecsba.com, the Center of Sport Business and Analytics.com. Thank you again for the opportunity to be with the Sports Shop, the best morning radio show in America.
Couldn't agree. Couldn't agree more, Dr. Strowman. You said it best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.